on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Lana Silk joins us from Transform Iran. Lana, thanks for taking the time again to update us on the ministry.
Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure.
You know, I want to make sure the listener has the website, and I'd like to do that early so they can kind of follow along if we go anywhere there. But transformiran.com. And actually, I have to tell you, I see the picture that's right on the top of the homepage. I've have never been to Iran, but I see that, and it draws you. I would love to go visit.
honestly, it's a beautiful country. It's been ravaged by some very selfish people, but it is a beautiful country, and its day will come again, I'm sure.
Well, we will pray for that. You know, I wanted to start, for those who didn't hear us visit last time, with a brief history of the ministry that your father began so long ago. I mean, really, so long ago. The story of leaving Iran and some recent developments at the ministry. Can you start near the beginning or at the beginning and bring us up to speed?
Sure. Yes. I'll give you the bird's eye view. So, excuse me, my parents were both committed to following the Lord from childhood. They grew up with the church at a time that where Iran was secular and free, or Islamic secular, but more cultural Islam and free under the Shah's regime. And they will both say that there were no, it was tough ground. The Iranian Muslims were not interested in the gospel. And so the church was really doing the hard graft of trying to gain interest and spread the gospel. And then in 1978, the Iranian people began to revolt against the regime and fought, really, the scenes that we're seeing today from the news. They were playing out coming up to 50 years ago as the Iranian people were fighting to bring in the current regime. And that's what happened in 1979. The Shah was overthrown and the Ayatollahs took charge, Khomeini, the first supreme leader. And it was very soon after that that the Iranian Muslims began to become very open to the gospel. And so what was fast becoming a persecuted nation was also becoming a very open nation in terms of openness to hearing the word of God. And it was in that climate, about 10 years into that climate, that the Lord spoke to my parents and told them that they needed to leave. And it was a whole journey. Some of it is shared on our website, where they resisted and it really felt, surely we've heard wrong. This is where we're needed. Even the overseeing pastor agreed with them. Yes, you're needed here. You must have heard wrong. And then God confirmed it in a dream through the pastor and said that Lazarus and Maggie needed to leave, and urgently. So I was coming up to my 10th birthday when all of this happened. And I remember the urgency, the uncertainty, and we left within months. You had to give everything away. There's no taking wealth out of the country with you. Just left with our cases in obedience to the Lord. And after they came out, then the Lord spoke to them and told them that the persecution that they had experienced was really very minor and it was going to increase in intensity. The church was going to be driven underground. And they were going to be needed here out of the country to resource and strengthen and nourish this heavily persecuted but thriving, fast-growing church. And it's been 40 years, and they've been doing that ever since. And 35 years ago, they formally established the ministry as 222 Ministries. And a few years ago, we renamed it Transform Iran. And that's what we do. We are busy hoping to see Iran transformed.
Well, I have to tell you, I read through the press release that was sent to me and other radio people back in early January, and reading through it, just so impressed by your family's dedication to deliver the gospel. Now, your father has, been heading up Transform Iran and other, different iterations of that, like you said, for 40 years. But the truth is, your family and your father's ministry goes back even as much as 70 years.
Yes.
Can you speak to that just a little bit?
Well, the church that we see thriving in Iran today was born out of meetings that took place in my father's father's home. He had a miraculous encounter with the Holy Spirit, was spent 40 days fasting, 42, I believe it was, fasting and seeking a visitation of the Holy Spirit, a filling of the Holy Spirit, which he received at the end of that time. And that led to meetings in his home for 4 years. My dad, his five siblings, and his parents met every day praying, seeking the Lord, worshiping, teaching, sharing the word, and people were added to those meetings. People were saved and got to finally a stage where they were way too many people to accommodate in and around their home. People would stand outside trying to hear what was happening. And that sort of led to a building being acquired and the church being formally established. And that was the predecessor to what we see in Iran today. My mom got saved through those meetings.
I'm looking now at the current makeup of Transform Iran, and part of the reason for the press release we received in early January. But the last time you and I spoke, you were overseeing the organization's current U.S. projects as the CEO of that. But your role has changed since we last spoke, and there was a celebration about your new position with Transform Iran recently in Holland. Can you tell us what's happened and tell us a little bit about the celebration? I'd love to hear about that.
Yes, Steve, it's been a long time coming, I think. My parents are really exemplary in the way that they lead without holding on to titles and pulpits. I remember as a child hearing my dad preach about that, just encouraging the pastors that he was mentoring to say, make sure the younger generation is equipped and given space to take on what we are building, excuse me, and to grow into their own calling. And that's been the case, certainly in my personal experience, where my parents have seen my particular calling and gifting and really invited me in to share in the joy of this ministry. And as I've grown in capacity as a leader, they've given me more and more. And the process has led to me stepping in as president and CEO this last weekend. I'll be leading our global operations. And what I love about this is it's not come out of necessity in terms of my parents being too old or too weak to lead, but it's come out of vision. They see the need to focus in different areas. They see my ability to take on the leadership of the ministry to release them in other areas. And so by me stepping into this role, they are now able to focus on what the current season has for them. And my mum will be overseeing all of our theological curriculums and just ensuring that all our evolving projects adhere to the to theological accuracy. And my dad will be the general overseer of all of our churches. We have hundreds of churches in 17 countries, and now he can really focus in on planting more churches and mentoring more leaders. And I feel that as an organization, we'll be stronger for it.
I don't know you and your family well, but as I read through this, I was feeling like, I wonder if Lazarus, I mean, he had a heavy weight on him, like you do now, as president of Transform Iran. But as you already mentioned, they have work to do. They're not retiring. I've often had conversations with friends where I'm saying, I actually don't see that in the Bible. When I'm done in radio, I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lord has for me then. But I'm almost wondering if your dad isn't kind of back to his first love in ministry, in the mentoring and church planting and growth. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, Steve, you're spot on. He is so good at that and so anointed in that, in seeing the gold in people, calling it out, training them, mentoring them, teaching them, and giving them space to really flourish in their own giftings. And really, that's how this ministry started. When we started 35, 40 years ago, the verse the Lord gave my parents was 2 Timothy 2:2, which says, "The things that you have seen me, heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." That's the foundational principle of Transform Iran, to identify the giftings in people, to nurture those giftings, to train them, and to equip them to then go on and train others. And of course, the ministry has grown. There are thousands and thousands of leaders that have been trained, and each is walking and running in their own callings. And so then the burden, as you say, the demands on my parents have increased, particularly my dad, and it's become a much broader role in terms of running a ministry. And that, of course, comes also with communication with our partners, fundraising, infrastructure, accounting. And it's really exciting for me to be able to take those things from him so he can go back to this first love and just enjoy this season.
Well, I want to make sure the KLYT listener is well aware. You mentioned, we've talked a lot about Iran, but you mentioned other countries. And I know there's work being done not only in Iran, but Turkey, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Armenia, Georgia, and more. So really, the ministry has grown, you know, greatly past Iran. And I mentioned at the top of the our discussion, the website. I want to bring that back in, transformiran.com. And obviously, as with any nonprofit organization, you'll find a place to financially support the ministry. But I want to move on to more prayer for your team and for the people of these countries, specifically focused, though, back on Iran. In recent headlines, we've seen the things happening there. I want to say the press release that I got in early January preceded some of the activity that we're seeing in Iran now. Even at that time, were you hearing the rumblings? And if you could share some of that, and you know what has occurred, and you know what we should be praying for specifically as the things move forward in Iran.
Yes, Steve, things are moving at quite a pace in Iran. I feel that every day, if I want to make some kind of statement, it will probably be obsolete in a few days. We do have some guidance on prayer on our website in the prayer section. I tend to break it down in four parts to help us focus. We pray, of course, for the Christians in Iran. The Christians in Iran are increasingly isolated now because there is so much scrutiny, and tens of thousands of people are being arrested. And when people are arrested, everything about them is scrutinized, and that includes their digital footprint. So the Christians are having to be very careful to delete their Christian contacts and chat groups and activities off their devices, which then isolates them. So pray for them at this time, that they will be comforted directly by the Holy Spirit in this very difficult time, that they would be kept safe, that their identity as Christians will be hidden from the authorities, but also that they will continue to operate in courage and in wisdom and anointing as they share this living water that they have with the people around them who so desperately need it. And then I would say pray for the rest of the country, the rest of the population. They need Jesus. They are fighting for freedom. They are fighting really for hope and peace and joy. You know, the very core of the kingdom of God that they so desperately seek, they're not going to find it on earth. They're going to find it in Jesus. So pray that they find Jesus, but pray also for their safety. Pray for mercy. There are thousands and thousands who have already been killed, very likely tens of thousands. I've heard reports as much as 30, 40, 50,000. No one knows for sure. But it is brutal right now, and it's heartbreaking. So pray for comfort. Pray for salvation. And then we set our sights on the government. I've seen some very disturbing images of people acting out, Christians even, acting out in real hatred towards the Iranian government. Our hatred is reserved for the devil. These are people that Jesus loves and died for, who are Amen. Extremely broken and fallen in their sin. And, you know, ours is to love. Ours is to pray. That is the commandment, isn't it? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. So let's be praying for them. Let's pray for Damascus Road conversions. Let's pray for mercy. Let's pray that God's will is done in our country, that peace is restored, that righteousness is restored. And finally, I would really encourage and invite prayers for myself and our ministry, because we are really up against it right now and need all the support that we can get.
All right. And I would, again, draw your attention to the website transformiran.com. And actually, if you are on the homepage, scroll down just below that beautiful picture that's at the very top, and not far down, you'll find a video of an interview that, Lana, you did recently on CBN. But in addition to watching that and refreshing people's information about what's going on, click on a link there. It says full conversation and prayer points. And I appreciate you sharing the prayer points, but they can easily read through that and effectively be praying for the ministry at Transform Iran and for the people there that are experiencing, what's happening. And like you said, the headlines are changing daily. Before we finish it up, I do want to throw it back to you just to make sure we didn't leave anything out there that you'd like to share with the KLYT listener.
Thank you, Steve. I always like to end with a reminder for all of us that Jesus sits on the throne. He is not surprised by the events of today or even the events that are coming tomorrow. And our peace and our hope is in him. So let's remember that. Let's fight against the spirit of fear. The perfect love of God casts out all our fear. We trust God. We rely on him and we play our part.
Very good. And I will ask if you will please give warm regards to Lazarus and Maggie and yourself. I so much appreciate what your family's done in this area of the world and the rest of the team. I know it's there's a large team working on getting this done, but thank you so much for your time. And we look forward to, maybe a later update with even more good news.
Yes, absolutely. We anticipate it. Thank you, Steve.
Right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.